Greetings, 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 and salutations. This is a St. Thomas show. I am St. Thomas, the twin. 2000-ish years ago, I was Yeshua's twin sister. You can call me Arrow. Oh, what a day, what a day. Glorious. Glorious. That just came from a powerhouse song. I've been in the office singing with my team today. And you can call me Arrow. My mission here is to participate in human experience that together we are creating a new earth in peace. I want to start out by thanking Don and Doug at BBS Radio. They are wonderful. They're 100% of my technical support. I couldn't do this without them. I laugh. Don keeps, when he talks to me, he talks about the difference between broadcasting and podcasting. And I keep listening intently like I'm going to figure it out. I still haven't figured it out, man. I just trust these guys to get her done for me, and they coach me through it. So thank you. Thank you, Don and Doug at BBS and the whole crew. Thank you to my production manager. She's got another week off. I'm looking forward to getting her back in, flying in with me next week. And thank you to the subscribers. We have a couple, so we have several subscribers. And I wouldn't be doing this without you either. The listeners, thank you to the listeners. If you're inspired, there is a subscribe button. And then today, I'm trying something new today in this money talk. I'm going to be transparent. You know, none of us want to talk about money. I'm one of those. I don't want to talk about it. But transparency and putting myself on the table with all my cards up. So that's how I have to do it. I have a summer job and the income will start coming in May. But until then, if you're inspired to help keeping my show on the air, I am offering 5 free copies to one-time donations of 25 or more. Now, this is 5 free copies, and what this is a 217-page indictment. It was filed in January 6th of 2022. The indictment reads, in the highest court of the gods of all creation, Ancient of Days, criminal trial. I'm going to just pull out a couple pages. I'm going to read through this really fast just so you can comprehend what I'm talking about here. This is the people in the case are, the prosecutors are known as your people, and the accused, the defendants, the enemies are listed from pages 3 through 11. Forgot I need glasses for this small print. I'm going to read through this really fast because it's 217 pages, but I want you to understand pages 3 through 11 are all of the people and the organizations that have committed crimes to humanity. And I know on my show page, I'm reporting that the people who have held us in Prison Planet, who have raised us, ripened us, and harvested us for their own good is being held accountable. And that's what this document means to me. It was given to me, and I invested $1,000 and made as many copies as I could make. And I want to just give them to the people that want to help me keep the show on the radio today, just a one-time donation, 25 or more. I'm just going to do part of page 5. Pages 3 through 11 are the people listed as defendants. Corporations created by defendants, including all CEOs, board of directors, managers, in alliance with the defendants, nonprofit and tax-exempt entities allied with the enemy, the cabal, the deep state, the deep state actors, all affiliates, including Western fascists in power, as known by this court and unknown by us, Walt Disney, Roy Disney, Walt Disney Co., multinational mass media corp, Lucasfilms, Marvel Entertainment, Walt Disney Motion Pictures Group, Disney Cruise Line, Walt Disney World Resort, Disney Parks, Experiences and Products Incorporated, Magic Kingdom, Walt Disney World Resort, Club 33, Malloy International, Order of Malloy, all George Soros affiliates, including but not limited to Tides Foundation, Sojourns, Color of Change, Media Matters, People for America Way, Move On Org, Apollo Alliance, Open Society Institute, Center for American Progress, Center for Human Rights, Henry Kissinger and the Star Groups, Globalist, Pepsi Cola Incorporated, Unilever PLC, Nestle, Kraft Heinz Co., Procter & Gamble, Kellogg's, Mars Incorporated, General Mills, Mondelez International, Johnson & Johnson, Coca-Cola Company, Honeywell International, Camelot Group, New York Stock Exchange, Worldwide Stock Markets, Wall Street, London Banking Houses, Goldman Sachs Corp., Incorporated, MasterCard, the currency and financial master plan, which includes fiat money system, Dutch Re Foundation, Jerome Powell and all the Board of Governors, Federal Reserve Corporation System, the Federal Reserve, all criminal banks, Rothschild Banks of London, the Berlin, J.P. Morgan Chase & Company, Chase Manhattan Bank of New York, Prudential Financial, Wells Fargo Company, Western Union, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, Merrill Lynch, Bear Stearns, Bank of America Corporation, Franklin Resources, Commerce Bank AG, Credit Suisse, Dutch Bank AG, Barclay PLC, UBS AG, Roe Price, Bank of Lancaster, North Carolina Bank, Nations Bank, InterFirst Bank, Republican Bank, First Republic Bank, Bank of America Corporation, Lehman Brothers of New York, Lazard Brothers of Paris, the Bank of New York, Mellon Corp, ABN AMRO Bank, Israel Moses Seif Bank of Italy, Kuhn Loeb Bank of New York, Borges Netherlands Bank, Vernier Voor Credit Management, the Saudi Hollandi Bank of Saudi Arabia, Qatar Investment Authority, BlackRock Investment, USB Bank and Warburg Company Banks of Hamburg and Amsterdam, Banca Ficino and Ficino Bank, the Vatican Bank, the Bank of England, Lloyd's of London, London Stock Exchange, World Bank, the International Monetary Bank, Central Banks, Five Star Trust, Financial Institution, Corporate Insurance Companies, National Mortgage Loan Insurance Programs, Mortgage. Okay, that's just part of page 5. This goes on from the bottom of page 3 to page 11. I will read two small paragraphs off of page 11. These are the defendants in this criminal case. It's a 217-page indictment. These two paragraphs read, Lucifer, Murdoch, Asmodeus, Corey, Azel, Abrex, Nog, Newit, Thelma, Janus, Zarwin, Ven, Zervin, Zarvin, Thought Forms of Same, Baal, Marduk, Samuel, Lilith, Mog, Metatron, Archangel of the Red Ray, the Green Man, Wekedex, Chief Justice John Glover Roberts Jr., Duke of Kent, Carl Anderson, Head of Knights of Columbus, the Committee of 300, George Soros, Warren Buffett, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, Richard Branson, Elon Musk, Jack Dorsey, Lord Phillips, Stefan, Andrew Green, and affiliates, Klaus Schwab, Oprah Winfrey, Ghislaine Maxwell, Tom Hanks, George Clooney, Beyonce, G. Knowles, Kanye West, Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, Ted Turner, Buzz Aldrin, and all others as known by this court. I just want to run through this just so you understand what I'm looking at here. Pages 3 through 11, that was just two small paragraphs on page 11 and part of page 5. Because I know I have a lot of Q fans here, there's not Q mentioned very many times. I'm looking at page 77. It says 2021 AD, the Q movement was revealed on September 14th, 2021. The program includes U.S. Naval Intelligence with the Alliance and Federation. The Council of Zanay's technology was used to assist the human race onto the ideal timeline. Mathematical sequences were formulated and used to trace energy signatures throughout time and space and pinpointed certain events in this time. This information was used to form a timeline that benefits the entire galaxy. On page 120, I find this paragraph interesting. This is theft of freeborn rights, control, ownership, and slavery. I'd like to prove in my show today that we have been set free and we are no longer in debt and no longer slaves in the system. So this paragraph, I'm sorry, I cut into my paragraph. This is the theft of freeborn rights, control, ownership, and slavery. When a man or woman stands up to the corporation, government is in parentheses, they often lose everything, home, finances, and even family. Your people are often threatened when this is pressed to the extreme. This is a racket and a crime of racketeering at the highest level. This is a direct attack against God, Creator, and His people. We ask that judgment of guilty be made against the defendants for the crime of racketeering against God and Creator and His people. And just because I love Dawn, on page 217, there is a copyright disclaimer under section 107 of the Copyright Act 1976. Allowance is made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, and scholarship and research. So I would love to provide these to people. I would love to put these in hands. It's what my investment was for. And the more I get rid of these copies, the more I will invest in the printing if there is someone inclined. Woofta, that's a money talk. All my cards are on the table. I'm looking for a donation of 25 or more. It cost me $21.75 to print one document. It comes with three hole punches. I go to the thrift store and buy a three-ring binder when I give these away. Today, I'm going to mail them without the binder. It turns out I can mail it for like $6. And if I add the binder, it becomes 20 or something. It's crazy. So, but the holes will already be punched in that. And thank you if you are inspired to help me. And I'd love to send these copies out. If you identify as a human being and you long to know your spirit, this is the show for you. This show, a St. Thomas show, today's episode, I'm dedicating to two of my Q sisters, Lauren and Zosia. They are on BBS on Saturdays, and the name of their show is Unstoppable Love. I know I've talked about them before, but please find their show. They're creating a beautiful space of love. And I'm going to get into why I'm dedicating this particular show to them today. And then my guest who was asking me questions on the last show couldn't join us today, but I already know the questions. And the number one question that's coming to me is, how did I know I was Emmanuel's twin sister? Yeshua's twin sister. I like to call my brother Yeshua. And then we are no longer on prison planet. Humanity has been set free. I'd like to get covering that today. If I have time, I'm going to just give you a little account. I had an experience. I made an emergency call. This is years ago, but I made out an emergency call. I was under attack and I was joined by two very towering beings, came and answered my call. And since then, the attacks ended and my fear was removed. That's a real connected point right there. My fear was removed and therefore my attacks ended. And then next week's show, I have a twin sister show, a project review with Q and Arrow. It's a call-in show. We're going to answer questions on live air. That's next Sunday on the project show. I will also answer the two questions on the plate there is, how did I know I was Q's twin sister? And how do I communicate with Source? All right. We are a spirit being first and a physical being second. We are eternal beings. Now, this show is catered to my Christian sisters and brothers, and I just want to say, if you've ever heard anybody claim, oh, you're going to burn in eternal hell. Sorry, it just cracks me up when I say it. So the person, whoever is preaching that, and they probably don't know any better, but whoever was preaching that was practicing black magic. That's all that is. And my word for the day, it's bull poop. Bull poop. That's just bull poop. We don't burn in eternal hell. Never going to happen, because light always wins. Always. Light always returns to win and collect us home. We all get to come home now, and there is no such thing as burning in eternal hell. That is black magic, and I want to call that bull poop today. Whew. All right, now I'm going to slow down. That was just a long, long intro. Today we're going to get into the show. Who this show? Lauren and Zosha, I call my Q sisters, and I love them. They create this space between their hearts. We've talked about this before. When one heart joins with another heart, there's this very special space that happens in between those two hearts. If you were raised in a Christian setting, the word for it would be church. Church is not technically the original word. Church was not a building where we congregate and give a guy money for teaching us black magic. A church is this union of two hearts. And what happens between those two hearts is absolutely untouchable by the dark. When two hearts join together, it's unbreakable. When those two hearts join together, it's unstoppable love. And that's what those girls are creating. They're on a Saturday BBS show. And my show today is dedicated to them. I have a clip that BBS will play for me. This clip has Q. For those that are going to join my show new that are not familiar with Q, he comes, he's an ambassador from Source. Him and two other light columns were in the body of Yeshua 2,000 years ago. And one of those light columns, we also know, and a lovely lady that we call Mermaid. On this particular clip, the narrator, Asha, is going to call her Sunshine. And then Asha's narrating this show. Asha is an author of a website that is called forthepeople.space. And we support that website completely. And Dawn, will you play the clip for us, please?
Part of this show is about the truth, moving from a false narrative imposed upon humanity to the truth. What's really going on? How did this really begin? So, for example, let's say we were brought up believing that Greenland was green and Iceland was covered in ice. It's difficult for us to readjust, and maybe we realize that Greenland has ice and Iceland has green. So the empire imposed the greatest trick of all. They imposed this reality on humanity that there was some angry God above us, in control of us, and we were just mere peons down here. So today, in the exquisite music of life, we're going to explore the truth, which is that we are all source, and how that began and how we came to be where we are now. So thank you. Would you like to both share something about that?
That's perfect. I can't wait to hear what else you're going to say, Asha.
Yeah, I'm very, very, and I'm so proud to be in alignment with you, and I'm so proud to have found you. And I just applaud you for taking on this task and this work. It's very important that we start recognizing the metrics of ourselves, the construct, how it works, get comfortable with it. Please continue.
Thank you. And I am so very honored and grateful to be with you too. So, so deeply honored. So thank you. And you've taught me everything, both of you. So let's say the original source which is both of you, the original source, went into what we would know down here as mitosis, which is one cell dividing itself into two. So it's the same cell, but now it's in two. So let's say source said, I want to play. I want to have someone to play with. So source created another playmate, which is also itself. And that was the very first, let's say, an original beautiful duality, just a perfect mirror of love and peace and harmony and grace and creativity. So my question to both of you, what was it like just to be one and the difference between when you divided into two?
This is, you don't want this, mermaid? You know, I mean, it's super easy.
My memories are a little more rusty than yours. I don't quite remember being one cell and how we broke into two. I'm sure you could find that though.
Okay, so with this is great care is taken when we deliver this information. Just everyone who takes us in, yet we're bound by communication devices, the English language. So we're going to do our best. When you listen to us on this topic, just really feel the information. And it is a very true statement that I am translating directly from source the best I can in a way in which we can all digest the information. So it comes across maybe simplistic, but the information is in my harmonics. Thank you. Take in what you feel is correct and what you don't. And it's very important we get used to this material. And that's going to give us more stability. It's going to give us more strength. And it's going to give us a lot more understanding, which it gives us the empowerment to move forward, and or your enlightening process is going to increase. So here we go. You're going to have to help me again with the question. But when we start the expression of ourselves, which is exclusively inspiration and excitement, it doesn't necessarily have a beginning. It is just an all-knowing. There is nothing you don't know as you come from source. There's not one thing you don't know. It's just the excitement to go do one direction or another might be one way to explain it. And there's no deliberation. There's no doubt, fear, guilt, no emotion whatsoever. There is just the knowledge that you can experience everything in the domain of a universe, a multiverse, in this case, this universe. You have no weaknesses whatsoever. You only have the expression of expression. The experience is then recognized, as you say, as I joke, with the recognition of the expression, number one, doesn't really exist. But when you recognize it in the domain, you might say there is a first. And yes, it would be me, but we would never say that. We might express it as continuously creativity. And as we express ourselves, we start recognizing ourselves almost as if in a mirror. So now we go in to express ourselves, and yes, we have the ability to instantly start experiencing the development of life, which would be what seems to be a compartment to you is not to us. We start segregating instantly when we come into the recognition of ourselves into this domain and or universe. So as we are all annealed and aligned before we come into the multiverse, the universe, this universe, and then we start a subset of ourselves instantly as we come in here, and it continues forever and ever and ever and ever. I hope that helps.
Thank you, BBS. This Man, I really miss Q. Q is Yeshua 2,000 years ago. This is my brother. And that clip was a good example of the teachings that I want to bring forward from 2,000 years ago, that he was teaching the same things 2,000 years ago about who we are. We are Source. We are gods and goddesses. We are infinite creators. And Zosia and Lauren have done some clips recently on omnipresence. And then they have been flying solo. They've in their afternoon shows, they've taken turns flying solo. And they set forth an example for me to bring forward my own breadcrumbs and to share my own story. They kind of just showed me how to do it and backed that up with the courage to do it. So I'm dedicating this show to them for just leading the way for me. And the first thing I want to start with is the story of me hatching as the pink little fuzzy bird named Arrow, and how I got that name. And I started when I was born in this human vessel. They gave me a name, Shelley. And I know now that that name was engineered. It was picked specifically so that every time somebody spoke my name, it would cast this protective shell over me. So it also was kind of confining. Like, I've got my wings out now, so I like that the shells come off. It did give me a lovely protection and a lovely shell. I was listening to their show. It was last November. And I was just listening to the live show, and something happened. I left. I left physicality. And in coming back in, there's this in-between part. Like, when I wake up from sleeping, there's dream time. But then there's this in-between part before I wake up fully into physicality. It's an in-between place. Years ago in the 90s, I did a lot of work in that in-between place trying to remember my dreams. So I did exercises in that in-between place. And that's also when I was doing that, remembering my dreams, I came to in physicality. This was in the 90s. And one of those dreams, three people had called me Aerosmith in the dream. So I knew that they were calling me Aerosmith, and I just didn't know why until I lost the shell and I got hatched. So as I was coming back in, the visual I had was of an art project. This art project was in college. It was a design class, and it was a final project. The art teacher wanted us to create a picture of our essence. I didn't know the word essence. I didn't know what it meant. Of course, she gave a handout that had a definition. I still just didn't get what my essence was. I went home. I was in my own studio, and I got my dictionary out. I've always loved words, and I play with words a lot. And I looked up essence, different definition. I still couldn't get it. I really was lost. I was blank, but I knew what I knew. Without a shadow of a doubt, I knew I could intuit. And so I just created a picture that was my essence. I knew it was my essence, but I couldn't have explained it to you. This picture started with this little pink fuzzy pastel. It was fake fur, and it was a little scrap piece, and it was fuzzy and pastel and soft. And it went kind of a little off center on the paper. And then all the other pieces that got intuited into this project was, the first one was this big meshed grid. It was big gauge, like 12 gauge wire, and it was meshed in a grid. The little holes were like the size of my pinky tip. It would fit in the little gridded holes. and it was rusted. It was not pretty, not shiny, very rusted. All the other pieces that got placed on there were just rough and rugged and sharp. And then I had some black paint and, I don't know, black thread, and it just kind of weaved all the pieces into one whole piece. So composition was big in the term in the class, and I had to pull all the pieces together. So I got black paint all over. And when I got done, there was just this little square inch of soft pink fur that was just untouched. All these other pieces were just compiled and meshed over the rest of the fur. And I took it to class, and I don't know why I didn't see this coming, because it was every art project. We would hang them on the wall. And then I was supposed to tell the class why that was my essence. And I was blank. I really couldn't tell you. I intuited the whole thing. I knew it was, but I couldn't explain it. So immediately the teacher turns to the class and says, "What do you guys see?" And this girl, she flies up her hand instantly. She tells a story, something about being born into this world and being something this way, and then the world this way. And I was like, gosh, she made so much sense. I'm like, yeah, that's it. And about 10 years later, I realized that I was born into this world as that soft, pink, pastel, beautiful, clean, soft pink pastel piece that started my project. And then what happened was this world, Prison Planet, was just compiled on top of me. And I was barely hanging out, barely, just this little part showing, and just compiled down and imprisoned. Well, so as I'm listening to the show and I'm coming back into physicality, this piece is laying flat, and the little pink piece in the center starts raising up. And as it raises up, all these hard pieces just start kind of falling off, and they fall off one by one. They're falling off, and this little pink fur is finally risen above, and it's all by itself. And then I'm coming into physicality, and I'm kind of tuning back in, and I'm questioning if Q was there. It seemed like maybe Q was there. I'm not sure. And then I hear Zosha's voice, and I realize, oh, I'm listening to BBS live. And then I realized, whoa, I just went somewhere, like, you know, that was a trip. And I had to think, did I take any hallucinogens? No, I didn't take any hallucinogens, but it really seemed like it was a trip. And I was questioning, wow, is Q there? I don't know. So, but I realized, instead of trying to figure all this out in my head, I wanted to tune back into my live show, and I could go back to the archives and figure out what happened. So I did. I tuned back into the show, and I was listening. And then the next show that came on, it's Q Day, it was Saturday. The next show came on with Sunshine and Whiplash Talk. And Shane was on there, and he told the story about finding Sunshine. He said he was at a lecture. This man was on stage talking, and he was talking about the weather. There was something to do with the weather, and he seen Source come into the man, and the man stopped talking, turned and looked right at Shane and said, "Sometimes Sunshine needs help too." And I knew when he said that, I knew that Q had talked to me. I seen Q come out of my computer and get right in my face, nose to nose, and say something to me with Zosha's voice. I wasn't sure what it was, but I knew it was something about cracked, something like cracked head. Like, I wasn't sure, but I knew Q came out of the computer, got it right in my face, and spoke to me in Zosha's voice. So when this is all over and the archive came back on, I went back to listen to see what Q had said to me that day. And in Zosha's voice, Zosha was talking to Lauren, telling her a story And she said, I was so happy to see his shell crack. And I knew that Q was there to witness my shell coming off. And he also claimed to be happy about it. And then I realized I got hatched as a cute little pink fuzzy bird. And I got so excited. And I went, oh man, I am not going to be on the beach scrapping for food like the rest of the seagulls. I'm going to be in the air flying, doing somersaults and cartwheels. I'm going to see how fast I can fly into that turn and come out of it without wiping out, just for the fun of it. Because that was one of my favorite books, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And I always wanted to be Jonathan Livingston Seagull. The author is Richard Bach. He is a breadcrumb. He is my brother Q. I know the books. The first book I was given was also given to me by one of the dragons. If you're curious about my dragon story, the four dragons that raised me, that's on the first episode of Project Review with Q and Arrow. I talk about the Q source energy being in my life the whole time, raising me and training me through four individuals. And the second individual was a beautiful man. And he's the one that gave me my first copy of Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And Richard Bach is the breadcrumb author on that. I also, that weekend, was reacquainted with my second Richard Bach book. I see it as a gift for being hatched as Arrow. I found a copy that same weekend. It was in a box of books that were going to get given to the library. This book is called Illusions. It's also by Richard Bach. It was my training book in high school. Funny story, it was about a reluctant messiah. And in it, there's a little messiah. It has a messiah's handbook in it. It's such a cute little story. And both of these books are very small, and they're very good for children. They're very simplistic in their wording, and they're very easy to understand. I'm going to save my third. There's a third book that's going to come out on another show. And then I have a joke for Zosha. I haven't had a chance to actually communicate with her face to face. And I've been holding this joke in, and I just can't hold it in anymore. I'm putting it out on the show. I know she'll find my show here. So when I was coming back into physicality, I just was hatched as a cute little pink fuzzy bird. And the first thing I heard was Zosha's voice. And all I have to say to you, Zosha, is mama, mama, mama. Also, it's a joke that I've been holding on to since November. But because you're my way shower today, I'm going to give you all the rest of the breadcrumbs that go along with that joke. Okay, how did I know I was Emmanuel's twin sister? This one is, this is a little bit of a story too. I got the time covered up here. Let's see. Ooh, ouch. Oh dear. You know, if I don't get through my stories today, there's always the next show. Okay, so Q, when I was listening to Q, he said, you guys were all of you were here 2,000 years ago. Whoa. I got this incredible desire to know who I was 2,000 years ago. This is a key factor. Incredible desire. I want to say that again. Incredible desire. I had a longing in my heart to know who I was 2,000 years ago. And then last spring, the regular callers that were calling in, I was I was a regular caller. I would shake so bad that I had to put my phone on speaker and put it down on the table because my arms were flailing so rapidly that I couldn't hold the phone to my ear. I was nervous. It was hard to call in, but I wanted to do it. And I got through it. And the other callers were starting their shows. And so I wanted to start a show, but I wasn't sure. That was a little bit tough for me. And the other passion I found was when Sunshine and Q was doing a show one day, he activated me. He asked Sunshine, he said, "How do we reach out to the Christians?" And then the two of them had a two-hour show of joking and laughing about Christianity and the Christian doctrine. It was like Q took a baseball bat and just beat it to a pulp. And don't get me wrong, I did laugh. I laughed because I understood the joke. I understood the things they were saying, but I had this hurt. I had this hurt inside me. I was like, man, thank goodness I never got any of my Christian friends and family to listen to this show, because you would have just chewed up everything they believed in and spit it back into their face. And my heart went out to my Christian brothers and sisters. That day, he knew what he was doing when he spent 2 hours beating up the doctrine. He knew he was activating me. I had a longing in my heart for my sisters and brothers, my Christian sisters and brothers that sat in with me next to me in church. I would look at those people and I knew I'd look at someone and I just like, they're a beautiful, beautiful human being. And they've devoted everything they believe in to what they believe is right and just. They've devoted their entire vessel, their entire soul, their entire mind to God, that they understand to be right and true, and Jesus, who they believe to be right and true, and they devoted everything they had to that. And I just knew as I sat in that church that there was a change coming and that they were going to struggle the hardest. I knew it. So I again have this incredible desire in my heart to reach out to my Christian brothers and sisters. So when I booked a show, I finally got on the boat, man. The boat was passing me by. I was scared to get in the water and get to the boat. But you know, the boat was passing me by. All the callers were starting their own shows. And the boat was passing and it was leaving. And I was more scared of missing the boat than I was to jump in the water. So somehow, I think I ran so fast to the boat that I ran on top of the water like half the way. It was so far out there. I was coming in late, but I booked my first show. I was so excited. I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew all I had was my life, my experience. And I knew that that's all I had to offer. So I was going to do my first show and I was going to just spell out my life from the time I was, you know, like what I was doing when I was 3 years old. I didn't know. I've never told anybody what I was doing when I was 3 years old. And the reason I never told anybody is because I knew I'd never met anybody on the face of this planet that could tell me what I was doing. 3, 4, 5, it went on and on and on. And there's nobody. I just figured it had something to do with a past life. That's all the sense I could make out of it. Well, being on the Q train, Q has brought back, he turned my whole childhood in alive. He brought it to life. And that will come out. That I've got, you know, more shows coming and we will get to my entire life and what I was doing. So as I was writing my shows, I booked that show and I was flirting with calling it Doubting Thomas, the Doubting Thomas show, because in my Christian days, when I was studying Christianity and in Bible studies and doing the little spiritual warfare thing, I always joked that I was doubting Thomas, because I had this identity, a self-identity of having doubt. I was always the self-doubter. And so I just cliched the doubting Thomas. That was not his, Thomas's story was not that he had self-doubt, but it worked for me. I'm doubting Thomas. And I had said that many, many times. So because I was thinking about the title, I was wanting to reach my Christian family. And I really dug deep into that title. And what I found, some of the stuff on my first St. Thomas show, I went over that. St. Thomas there was never anybody called Thomas. The English word Thomas was translated. There's a Aramaic word, I don't know if it's Teome or Teoma. It's T, capital T E apostrophe O M A, and it means the twin. And there's a Greek word Didymos or Didymos, and it means the twin. And I was like, the twin, there's a twin. And so I called in to Q one of the last times I talked to him. I said, who was St. Thomas 2000 years ago? And y'all know he doesn't tell us. He likes us to figure it out. And he just said he wasn't going to create that reality for me. And then I'm a Star Wars buff. And I know that, you know, we've been trained that Star Wars is a documentary. And Luke came to restore order to the universe, just like Yeshua 2,000 years ago came to restore order to the universe. And in Star Wars, we find out that Luke has a twin sister. There's that scene with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda, and Luke leaves his training early. And they kept the twin sister a secret. Obi-Wan Kenobi didn't even know about the twin sister. That's how much they kept it a secret. But Yoda, that cute little green guy, he knew there was a twin sister. And he said, oh, there's one other. And I knew right then and there, there's a twin sister. And that made a whole lot of sense. I've identified Q being in my entire life. And I didn't ever feel flirtatious with him. I never felt like he was the twin flame. And even one time when I called in to him, he talked about he didn't really care for the flame term, because twin could mean a lot of different things. For instance, I'm a twin sister. Well, and since this is my breadcrumb show, I also, Luke's twin sister, Princess Leia. How exciting is that? All right. So that's how I came to discover my identity as Yeshua's twin sister. And then I have a couple breadcrumbs for Zosha. The last November, it was the same time that I was hatched as Arrow. I had a supervisor for my job. Her name was Sue, and she was sitting across a table from me. She was working. She was rolling plastic silverware for the big Thanksgiving shindig that they were having. And I was just in the clubhouse relaxing, making some coffee or sitting and having a chat with her. And I started questioning this other job title she had. I was interested in, she had three job hats at this facility. And I was questioning one of her jobs, and she was giving me mentorship. She was sharing with me the do's and don'ts of looking for these jobs, because I've never applied for this type of job before, and I was looking into it, and she was mentoring me. And I sat there and I had an aha moment. I couldn't believe that I had never seen this before. I've been in a 12-step program since I was 25 years old. It was years ago. My very first AA sponsor was named Sue. And she laid down a foundation for me that is, it's the foundation of who I am, really. But I also found the power to get sober and stay sober. My life depended on it. And then years later, it was just several years ago, I had another AA sponsor named Suzanne. And then two summers ago, I got a new sponsor named Susan. And I was flabbergasted as I sat across the table being mentored by another Sue, that I had never seen that before, that I actually throughout my recovery had had three different versions of Sue in my sponsoring ship. And then after I realized that, one of the archive Q shows that landed in my lap, I heard Q say, "Suzanne from New York." And I leaned in and it was Zosha's voice. Of course it was. Her name is Suzanne. Again, these are what she calls breadcrumbs. Sometimes I refer to them as gold nuggets because they're just precious, precious nuggets. It's a gold nugget. And then right before my very first episode of the St. Thomas show, Zosha had a show where she came out and laid a breadcrumb that she was the Mother Mary. Again, being my mother, because I was coming out as Yeshua's twin sister, and Zosha was claiming to be the Mother Mary. So we might share the same light columns, but I know her as my Q sister, and I know her as Mama, Mama. And every time she's talking on her show and she says, she keeps making these references to, "That's for my children. That's for my children." I just wanted her to know that she's the mother of a little pink fuzzy bird, and she's feeding me like a mother would. And I really appreciate her. And I do have to say, I like that you guys did your solo shows, but I do prefer the Lauren and Zosha together because there's a space that you guys create together that is just an untouchable, it's untouchable by the dark. It is unstoppable love, and I appreciate your show and all that you guys do. Okay, I have a couple minutes to get out, barely. This is no longer a prison planet. So another breadcrumb for me that I identify with, if you watch the movie Jupiter Ascending, this was given the Crown Award by Creation Lightship. They declared that this sci-fi movie is 99% accurate to what is happening here on Earth. So when I put myself in the shoes of Jupiter, I probably don't have time to tell this whole story about how I identify with this character in the movie, but I was cleaning toilets. That job I had at the RV park last November, December, it did include cleaning toilets, and the character in the movie is cleaning toilets. She also inherited the Earth. So I will have to tell my personal story about this later. I know that the reason I relate to inheriting the Earth, and we know what she does in the movie. We see the different siblings that are trying to hijack the character into either marrying. They tried to marry her so they could steal the Earth, and the sister tried to seduce her with aging concoctions and special waters and special technology. But we know that Jupiter, not the planet, the girl, the character in the movie, her name is Jupiter, and she inherits the Earth. And the reason I identify is a lucid dream I had about inheriting. I inherited my father's plantation, and I went and I set free all of the slaves on the plantation. It was an incredible lucid dream I had. I loved it. I played it many, many, many times. And I set all the slaves free. In this movie, Jupiter, the girl, she ascends and she sets free all of the people on Earth. Now, it's hard if you're going to look at this movie as 99% accurate to what's happening to us today. It will disclose the fact that human beings were just being raised as cattle. They were raised, they were ripened, and they were harvested. One of the not so good guys in the movie, they hand Jupiter a vial, and he says it took 100 humans to make this vial of liquid. And unfortunately, that is what had happened in our past. Again, I want to help everybody understand that we're only talking about the past when we're talking about these things, and we don't like talking about the past, but we need to realize what had happened. It was Prison Planet, and we're free. We're free. We have taken back the earth. We have inherited the earth, and it's up to us. It is up to us to find our way through ascension and find our way back home. That is what the transition specialist, the Q was here as a transition specialist. He trained many of us, and we're here to help with the transition. We're celebrating. We're celebrating because it's over. We have freedom, and we are just free to fly. We're free to create. We go to our hearts. We find our passions, and we create from our hearts. That's what our shows are about. Oh, shout out to Sunshine. I heard your show, Sunshine with Whiplash Talk. I want to back you up. She's changing the name of her show, whether it's Dancing with Sunshine, Flying with Sunshine. I like Sunshine comes in hot. And she identifies on her last episode, if you go to yesterday's archive, she identifies what her superpower is, and I back you up all the way. It is your superpower. I'm just here cheering you on. I love you. I love Lauren and Zosia. I love all the Q trainers and Q and Mermaid and Asha. It was so nice to hear them and be able to put them on my show today. It's really been a joy. I love you. And BBS, that'll be a wrap for me today. Thank you. Love, love, love.